and got the ball rolling, because the short version of it is they went in the next day to the doctor, and they got him on breathing treatments and tested the whole family, and the whole family was positive. And I thought, man, I just can't believe it. You know, they sat around and wait to see what happens, you know. And anyhow, by the end of the week, all of them were doing good. And it was a good result to come out of it. And I just give a shout out to Grant for being quick thinking. Because I was a little bit dumbfounded, and being out of state, you know, the worry was even worse. So that kind of got me into that. And then, of course, you know, this past week, another grandson, Walker, and all those, it seemed like I think all of Alex's had RSV. And then Walker ended up going into the hospital. And, you know, you start hearing all the stories about RSV, and, you know, and especially with an infant, you know, the worry comes on. So, the worry coming on, I think of Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We serve a mighty God. Amen. And we'll, you know, the problem I have, and I think with a lot of Christians, is that we have everything at our disposal as born again Christians. But we forget who we serve. And so anyhow, from there, and sweet mom, she always preached, not preached, but she always recited Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And this is how I was getting this stuff up. I'll just confess, I thought, man, I have got to, I thought, I'll get online, I'm a big YouTube guy, and I like to get things off there. I thought, I'll listen to somebody do, you know, Psalms 23 and get some pointers, you know, and I thought, well, I couldn't find anything, to be honest with you. You know, I'm a David Jeremiah guy, and I couldn't believe there wasn't one, you know, so I had to mark that off, and then I thought, well, you know what, I could do it like a cost estimate, you know, to get me an outline. And I thought, you know, I ain't really done an outline that good. And I looked up an outline, and man, I read the way that guy had it laid out. I thought, you know, that's not me either. I don't think God wants them. He wants me. So I'm just going to tell you, I don't know how else to share God's word, but from a personal point of view. And I got this Bible a long time ago. My sister helped me find it, Angela did. And it's got a lot of good references on it. And so what I did is I took the Lord's Psalms 23 and started going through there. And I thought, you know, for the sake of time, or just for sake of reading, but what I found out, they had the Old Testament referring to your Savior, and you had the New Testament. And just to give you an idea, if you go to Isaiah 40:11, bear with me. You know, last time I was up here, I didn't have these on, and I couldn't hardly find anything. Not that it's... Isaiah 40:11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosoms. And he shall gently lead those that are with young. It's just a caring shepherd. And then if you go back to the New Testament, you got John 10. I just flipped into 1 John. Got John 10:11-16. Well, it's John 10:11-16. I'm in John 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth them. A hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I knoweth my sheep, and I know of mine, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, and them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And after I read just a couple of those, I looked back and I thought, you know what? The Lord is my shepherd. You can easily say, the Lord is my Savior. And not only, and I shall not want, you can also say, I need no other God. Amen. You know? So that was good stuff, just doing my own research and trying to get a little bit out of that. I got Philippians. Well, you know, he supplies all our needs. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, he's a good shepherd. He takes us, let me get back to my text, which is Psalms 23. You know, he made me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. And there's another little book that I even thought about trying to use it. I've given it out to a lot of people after cancer. It's by Max Lucado. It's called Safe in the Arms of the Shepherd. It was given to me by Miriam Allen. And it was the first book that really meant a lot to me going through cancer. But anyhow, he talks about it in there, and about how he takes his sheep to a good safe place, a place where they can fill up with food, and by the making them lie down by still waters where they can get a drink safely, you know. And he goes into great detail, you know, that he's a remarkable storyteller, or you know, gives a lot of explanations to it. But it just reminded me of what a great shepherd we have in Jesus Christ. It goes on to say, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, I mean, there's probably a lot of different explanations on restoreth my soul, but he restores my soul to me is the power that he has and what he can do. Just, you know, and usually most people, you know, they're reaching out to God during tragedies. And, you know, it's just like we've had several in our church. You know, I've been one. Jared Brogle back here has been an answer to prayers. You know, my brother Charlie growing up, he had a terrible car, a tractor accident, almost took him out. Probably one of the toughest ones was when we first got married, to me, you know, personally, was our son Luke. When he was probably a year and a half old, he started having seizures. He may not even been that. He may have been under a year. And as worried parents would be, we started taking him around to several doctors. We went all the way up into Ohio and Pennsylvania to epilepsy conferences. Met a doctor up there that he didn't give us any hope. He said, I hate to tell you this, but your son is going to just get worse. He said, you probably have 40 to 50 seizures a day. Well, that was tough. But like I said, we don't use our shepherd, our Savior, enough. Because he has more hope to give than we ask for. And that, just like Rodney was talking about this morning, we don't ask enough. We don't. You know, and even in events of death, we still have hope that we will see them again. And that's just a wonderful God that we serve. He helps us put our worries aside. You know, I think of Elijah in 2 Kings, and I don't know if y'all remember the text, but his servant woke up and looked around and saw all these enemies around him. And Elijah just prayed and said, God, open his eyes to show him that what they couldn't see was all the warriors that got it. And I think that's how we are. We have plenty of strength from up above if we'll just reach out and ask for it and follow him. You know, you just basically take him by the hand and he'll lead you through your trials. I've really gotten off of my notes, but it's okay. You know, in that little book, he talks about anointing your head with oil. I didn't make a whole lot out of that, but until I read that, and he goes into great detail, even with the rams. You know, during mating season, the shepherd put oil on their head, so when they butt, they'll slide and miss each other, not hurt each other. You know, and then the parasites was the biggest deal. And the shepherd would anoint their head with oil, and he was protecting them for pestilence. And you know, when they're eating, little worms would try to crawl up on their nose, and they would slide off. It just kind of brought it all together, you know. He anoints my head with oil. He's protecting you. And, you know, it goes on. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I think it kind of covered some of this. And thy rod and thy staff comfort me. And I can't remember. I think, you can tell me if I'm wrong or whatever, but I think the rod was to fight off the animals and the staff was to keep his sheep in line. Had that crook on it, was it? Yeah. And you know, it's just we serve a loving God, but we also serve a God that will correct you. You know, it talks about he corrects his children, and if you're not getting corrected, then I don't know, you may want to do a little checkup. So anyhow, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of my life. And even this little Bible, it didn't have a good reference to it. But I was flumming through, that ain't even a good word. But I was going through the Bible and I came across this, and I thought, you know what? This was good stuff because I remember reading it, taking chemo. In Romans 8, 35 through 39. You got to remember, at my time when I was reading this, I'd been diagnosed, and I just figured I was heading out of here. So, Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations, or distress, or persecutions, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I want to tell you, that's just good stuff. You'll hang on to that. You know, I'd been saved a long time before my faith got tested. You talking about being faithful for all those times mother was quoting Bible scriptures, or you heard something out of the, you know, from the preacher, you know, being little and growing up through the teenage years. All that comes back, and you'll cherish it all. You'll want to read it and reread it and just read it. I can't tell you how many times I've read Philippians 4 through, I'd go on to 9 or 13, as far as that goes. You know, Rodney was talking about, you know, you can read this. And I forgot what else you said, pray about it or whatever, but until you do it. And Philippians 9, I think, fourth chapter, I think it's verse 9. Paul says, and all these things you see in me, do. And that carries a lot of weight. Just that little two-letter word is to do. You can read all you want, you can talk all you want, but until you do it, that's where the action happens. I just want to close it out with this. You know, you dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, I did that with Romans 8 there. But we're going to spend eternity with our shepherd and with our Savior. And, you know, I've done this a couple of times. I asked somebody if they were saved, and they looked at me and they said, saved from what? Think about that a minute. Saved from what? I'm like, man, you don't know? There's a hell out there. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And back when I was growing up, they really preached hell, fire, and brimstone. I mean, big time. It probably scared most people into being saved. Which was okay. It worked. You know, but being saved from hell, it brings back Floyd Diver. He's an old cattleman. Thought the world of him. He had a little saying, don't be in that wished I had club. And looking at this and looking at scriptures, I think of the rich man and Lazarus. Remember when the rich man lifted up his eyes? He was in that wished I had club. So if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the time is now. There's no need in wait. The Holy Spirit will convict you of your sins and let you know that you need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you can live with eternity with him. And I remember hearing Danny talk about the other day. He said, and we all have, I'm sure. Think about eternity. You know, you know that, you know, that wall stops, but behind that, just think how long eternity is. Why risk it, you know? You know, we should all leave here and have a desire to spread the gospel. Spread it to a lost and dying world. And not only will they get saved, but they'll get so much more. Just exactly what Rodney was talking about this morning. I was walking through there, and he got up here, and he said, go to Psalms. I thought, boy, if he says 23, I'm just going to fall over. But he didn't, but it was all good, you know. So I guess that's where I'm going to leave it. You know, God's word won't come back void. I want to share this with you real quick. Last night, we were coming home late. I hadn't even thought about what to bring, but a man had I called about buying a lot that I had for sale over in Angela's Corner. Didn't know what to expect, and they were kind of, they're Ukrainians, okay, and they're good people. But anyhow, they said, hey, can we meet? I said, sure. I said, where do you want to meet? He said, well, can we come to your house? I'm like, yeah, I guess you can. It's open. And so he came over, and I knew the son. Good kid. Lives out there right across from Angela's Corner. And his dad got out. Very meek fellow. And invited him in the house. And I said, what do you do? He said, well, he didn't speak good English, but he spoke enough where I could get it. I'm going to tell you, this will break your heart. He said, in 1987, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And he said, I've been preaching his word ever since. Over in Ukraine. I said, well, amen. It's like, and I was curious. I said, because I heard it kind of Pentecostal. And he said, you know, over here they would call us Pentecostal. But he said, we're really Baptist. I said, really? He goes, yeah. I said, you trust Jesus Christ your personal Savior? He goes, oh, yeah. And I said, I'm just curious, how you do baptism? He goes, all the way in. I said, okay. But he told me this, and I was, I just caught it. He goes, but we can only do it at night. I said, do what? He said, we can only preach at night. He said, if the government catches us, he said, I have brethren. And he said, they're not my brothers. He said, they're brother in Christ. And he said, several of them are in jail for preaching God's word. So, and with all that being said, and knowing I was trying to get this on, I felt pretty small to be sweating over this. And knowing that there's people over in other countries are being persecuted big time for preaching God's word. And if I can't get up here and share what God has done for me, then shame on me, you know? So, God's been good.